Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and there's two of us here, Martin. Does this qualify as a rally?
Yeah, this is a rally, Tony.
Welcome to the public meeting, folks. Martin, last night in Liberty Hall was the second event of the Sinn Féin public rallies. It was packed. I saw Pearse Doherty addressing hundreds of people, as far as I could tell. Now, they're saying about 100 people. It looked more. Some of the faces I knew, actually. On the street because they couldn't get inside the door. Why did all of those people on a Tuesday evening come into Dublin City Centre to see what looked like, I have to be honest with you, a bad Beatles tribute act when you think of who's coming out on stage?
I think the reason why, Tony, is because there is no government in place. At the moment, we have a power vacuum. We have caretaker government. People have voted and they want their vote respected. 2011, built houses nowhere ideologically opposed. Right through to 2019, built houses nowhere ideologically opposed. Well then, screw yous. And that's where it's come to now. And people have just come to the point where nothing in this country works the way it should work. And they are looking for an option that it might work. They're not saying that Sinn Féin is the solution. They are saying Sinn Féin is the vehicle for the solution, if there is a solution out there.
Well, I have to say, I think you make a really good point. They want their vote respected.
Yeah.
They want, we've seen that now. We've gone through the ordeal that was how long it took for the Brexit vote to actually be cast until the day it was actually respected. And it wasn't respected. Like the last general election in the UK, everybody knew was a second referendum.
Yeah.
And it was, and that was what mattered. It was a second referendum. The message then to the electorate was, you know, you didn't listen to us. We voted. And you went, well, you were too stupid to know what you were voting for.
Yeah.
And they went, who cares?
Well, that's the playbook. That is the playbook now, is that they're saying, you're too stupid. Yeah, you don't recognize your history. People do. They've taken it all into consideration.
Well, and I mean, it makes no sense when you think they were demanding a few months ago that Sinn Féin go into government in the north, and yeah, they were happy enough for that to happen, and now they're not. Look, there's so much hypocrisy. So, like,
but do you not remember the first podcast after the election results, and I said to you, it's going to get real dirty real fast, and it's going to be enemy at the gates. And I said it. That's what they're going to keep saying, is enemy at the gates.
Last night at the event, you were telling me just before we came on, it was just a bog standard.
I got there late, Tony, so it was very hard to get anywhere. So most of what I got was from talking to other people. There were ante rooms with different discussions going on. This wasn't a discussion about taking the north of Ireland. This wasn't discussions about let's have marches on the streets. This was discussions about progressive politics. Where are we going? How do we get there?
I thought there was one thing that struck me, and I saw the comment, and because it is a concern, in the Sinn Féin manifesto they had, I'm going to be polite and say they had clumsily worded ideas around migration. And there was questions put to them about it. And Mary Lou was very unequivocal about, you know, direct provision is going to be in 10 years time at tribunal and we'd be apologising for it. She said, people who come here and make their lives here are welcome here and we are happy to have them here and they electrify this country. I think that I'm glad that that was said. I really am, because that would be something that I would say that we have to monitor in Ireland, not just in Sinn Féin, but across the board, across all sections of society, for this creep of blaming the other, blaming
well,
the other.
Well, look, I'm going to be really honest about that. I think it hasn't got a foothold in Ireland as it has done in other countries, simply because it doesn't get a foothold with Sinn Féin. It gets a foothold with all other parties, Tony, and big parties. I'm not talking the smaller parties. It gets a foothold. It has a foothold in Fianna Fáil. It has a foothold in Fine Gael, but it doesn't necessarily have a foothold in Sinn Féin. I think it's something they don't tolerate.
Mm. Well, again, that goes back to the culture. And they can say it all you want. There's a culture there that they, you know, one person will say they're very disciplined and another person will say they're bullies. It depends on what side of that line you're
Tony,
walking.
It doesn't matter what political party you're in. There is a line to be towed, whether you're Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour or Sinn Féin.
I agree, Martin, but what I'm saying is they have been very good in many ways in their party discipline. That has resulted in them losing people over the last 2 years, as you know well, and those people have come out and said, I felt bullied. So it's as simple as that. I'm not saying that that's not, we can't pretend that that didn't happen. It absolutely did happen. Am I happy to see that they talked housing? health, progressive politics, building 7.5 hours with the Green Party, which actually brings me on to this, to the next point. The real game that's actually going on, obviously, as we've seen in the more, how do I put it, the grand old stretch in the evening coalition. These two are playing at, you know, we agreed to meet and we'll agree to meet again. And sure, it was grand. And you go off and see if you can form a government. I'll go off and prepare for opposition. The pressure, look, I'm going to ask you straight. What do you think is happening?
I think the Leo Varadkar set out his table that he wanted to be in opposition. Very, very quickly, the pressure came on him to say, no, you can't just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. You must be part of the process. So they've had a meeting with Fianna Fáil. They're already discussing rotating Taoiseachs. Look, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the group of the Crazy Nine, there's your government right there. It's a weak government. And that's the problem. They're not going to get the Greens because the Greens wanted the Sock Dems as a mudguard, and the Sock Dems are not going to be the Greens' mudguard in any government. They're just not.
No, I think the Greens know as well. They've been, like, to spend 7.5 hours with Sinn Féin and know that they're going to do the same, something similar this week with the Sock Dems, and that they know that if they don't come back and say that we made an actual proper fist of trying to form a broad left unity government.
But that's all semantics, really, Tony.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all semantics.
But I don't think they can afford to go in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I know Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want them.
They want them real bad.
They will give them the veneer of respectability, the veneer of doing stuff.
Yeah, but
it will be the ultimate greenwashing. It would be the ultimate greenwashing. Everybody will get a keep cup.
The Greens have the same problem that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have, and more so Fianna Fáil. A coalition with Fine Gael could split the Fianna Fáil party. It'll most certainly split the Green Party. Without a doubt, it'll split the Green Party. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for a government that may not last 6 months, particularly with the existential crisis that's coming down the road with coronavirus, Tony? I wouldn't want to be in government. Be quite honest with you. I would not want to be in government. I'd rather let Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and some hodgepodge of independents go in there because you know it's going to be a mess.
Well, you speak of the existential crisis. You have to know the Greens have a green agenda and it's absolutely coming down the tracks. Whatever government is in power, whether climate change is going to be tackled, they have a very limited time to do it. But there lies the rub. Will Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael give a proper programme for government that addresses those? The answer to that, and I'm going to just go out on a limb and say, will be no. It'll be more actions without accountability for when those actions aren't actually met. We're very good at making plans in Ireland. We're terrible at sticking to them. And we're even worse at saying that when we don't stick to them, how we address it, we just actually stretch the targets. It goes back to the minister's last one where he had 140 action points, and of that I think 12 of them had accountability sort of spot checks. It doesn't happen.
Well, also you'll have a very strong opposition. Very, very strong opposition. Look, it's as we've said all along, it's the end of civil war politics. We have now, the hegemony is broken. The problem is they don't know how broken they are. They're fighting over the scraps. They're not fighting over the spoils. I see Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and it is Simon McGarr's blog last night, which you borrowed from me. Events, dear boy, events. And that's what's going to happen with this. Events are going to overtake negotiations. And you're going to need a government in place. We need a government in place right now, Tony. They should actually be planning for coronavirus. I mean, we could do it with foot and mouth. We could literally shut the country down and say, look, this is a big... Now, it's people, not cattle. So, you know, where's the same sense of urgency? It's not there.
I think that's, unfortunately, I think you're right. I think there's a huge deficit of leadership there. When you have a caretaker Taoiseach who has said, I want to go into opposition, he can't clearly be fully applied to, or fully into the job. They're not resourced as it is. We're years at doing this podcast. This is 250 odd or whatever it is, and we're talking about it. We have spoken to consultants, doctors, GPs, nurses, all of them. They've been telling us for years that they were under-resourced. They're bloody crowdfunding to buy machines that they need in children's hospitals. Crowdfunding.
670 people. That was the new record this year on trolleys, Tony. Now, how are you going to handle 6,700 people in your A&Es? And if coronavirus follows through as it has done in Italy and other countries, you are looking at thousands and thousands of people who are going to need hospital care, acute hospital care in isolation. And we just don't have it. We don't have it. So yes, there is an existential crisis over and beyond Brexit, but we also have Brexit, which is an existential crisis as well. And that's been unpicked one stitch at a time.
Yeah, very important to say that they're already, Boris Johnson is already saying, "I'm going back on my border in the Irish Sea." It's hilarious. Like, you know, the man who has literally no scruples. I'm so shocked that he has no scruples when it comes to this. It's just
the days of spending 100 days or 90 days negotiating a program, they're gone. Mm. They're gone. We live in a much faster world. Things move much faster. And there is an expectation that politicians get their acts together, whatever way they do it. There is also a possibility of a national government. And I'm going to throw it out there. There is a possibility of a national government.
I said it yesterday, Martin. Don't be taking my thunder.
Yeah.
No, I do think it would be, like I said it actually when the results came in, that the smart thing to do would have actually to say, well, if Brexit is this threat that we all said it was, to say, well, why can't we form a minority government supported by Fianna Fáil in opposition on a number of issues, just on a number of...
Because there's nothing you can really do with Brexit, Tony.
Yeah.
We are along for the ride. Mm. We are not dictating the terms. Yeah, so there's nothing you can really do.
But we need some form of leadership. We need some support. And, you know, you can't have a situation where the Minister for Health says we should not have the Six Nations game against Italy, and the IRFU say, whoa, hello, no. And you go, in what world does that make sense? Like, I'm sorry, the IRFU should have just shut their mouths and said, actually, maybe this is not the time to pipe up.
What's it telling you when they're cancelling a rugby match, Tony? What's it telling you?
The
situation is worse than you are being told. And a news media blackout, which they did yesterday, absolutely outrageous. Tell people the truth. Don't keep the truth back from them. And there's no uniformity. Some schools where the kids went to Italy, they're going to school. Other schools are told to stay at home and self-isolate. So, you know, a bit of uniformity, a bit of thought across the board on this is going to be needed.
I don't know if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, I think that the coronavirus could be the thing that scuppers their plans, but I do think that the global economy is under a lot of pressure right now. Coronavirus is a huge threat to the global economy. All of those things where people are isolated, as you said, I think it's what's some mad statistic that 1 in 6 people are effectively...
And the planet is isolated at the moment. It's crazy.
So if you put that in context, what that means for freedom of movement, freedom of goods, services and things that people rely on, it absolutely has to have an impact. And I know, because that's my job, to know, is that our economy is already showing signs of, you know, a downturn. I mean, you saw Killian Wood's article over the weekend about hundreds of high-level apartments in Dublin sitting vacant because they can't. There's no occupancy. We saw the ridiculous reaction to Ronan Lyons' article in The Currency, where he was saying that, you know, the turning down of Johnny Ronan's super tower was a terrible idea. And you're going, why? We didn't need any more. We can't even fill the ones we have.
Well, you're saying zero occupancy, Tony, yet there are 10,000 homeless people. It's not zero occupancy. It's in keeping the prices artificially inflated high.
Yeah.
Release them onto the market at a price that people will pay, and rents drop right across the board.
Now it's castles in the sky, Martin. It's absolutely castles in the sky. I mean, you're looking at the Irish property market is already under pressure. We're looking, you know, every single part of it now, these zones, these sites that are being zoned, there's never anything with heights. It's like, for example, the 22 story Capital Dock was finished over a year, 50% vacant. There's no demand, right? They want to build 75,000 more unaffordable high rise apartments for $4 or $5 billion worth of investment. Then they'll be sold cheap as chips when everything collapses. Is that what we're thinking? Because if you're saying it's going to cost $4 to $5 billion, And most people who I know are saying, yeah, the value of that's probably about 2.3 billion right now when you forecast it forward.
Yeah.
This is a disaster.
It's the carousel, it's the roundabout, it's the musical chairs. And developers know this, Tony. It's about, are you left standing when the music stops?
And go back in, and I know they're not in the right places. these properties. But the 2015 census showed that there was 186,000. Well, 186,000 vacant properties in Ireland.
Yeah.
Okay. They're not all obviously.
You know, there's holiday homes in that mixed in.
And
as well,
there are there's places built where no one wants to live, or where there's no industry, there's no work. Absolutely, there's ghost estates. Less and less now, it has to be said. But don't tell me that we can't. That we want to, the solution now is to build these big giant monstrosities.
The people who live at the top of these monstrosities, Tony, are paying top dollar to live at the top. They are penthouse suites. Now, that's not what we need to solve the housing crisis in Ireland. It's the wrong things in the wrong places.
Well, I'll tell you what's actually happening. It's past the parcel again. And we have to talk about the fact that Bank of Ireland have made a vast profit again, and they won't be taxed on it. And yet they're coming out and they're saying, you know, oh, pressure to put mortgage rates down. And I saw someone actually saying it's great that they're putting their mortgage rates down. Isn't that a great sign? And they're still the highest rates in the EU, and not only the highest rates, they're nearly double. You know, like it's about 183% the average rate.
Yeah, but I also think now a mortgage is as unobtainable as a Rolls Royce for most people. Tony, you're talking abstracts when you're talking mortgages now.
Just to let you guys know, a bit of housekeeping. We obviously rely on our patrons to keep these pods going. We need people to come on board. Right now, we have, between Disturbing the Peace, Reboot Republic and ourselves, we're putting out a lot of content at the moment. There is a patron-exclusive pod at the moment. Right now, went out this morning with Julia Marciniak from the Ivy Restaurant and Unite Union, and I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's an excellent. You know, you see another side of Ireland when you talk to migrant workers that are working here, and it's not an nice side of Ireland at all.
It's deeply unpleasant, actually. But I would say to you, if you want to check it out, go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. The price of a cup of coffee helps us keep that going and gives you that extra content. It's important for that. Like, I mean, I'm not even going to go outside of school. Rachel was lecturing me yesterday. We have a little DM group amongst the guys here, and she was giving out to me because I was showing how actually this, how we are still not viable. And she was like, come on, just where's the optimism? And I went, well, we're still not viable. Yay! but like, we're laughing about it, but we can't keep doing this and baiting our heads off a wall. Something has to give. Hopefully people will come on board and give us a hand.
I'm going to ask you a question, Tony. Yeah. How long to a government formation taken? And there's a lot of moving parts at the moment, an awful lot of moving parts. How long?
Well, I would say in Leo Varadkar's world, it's post Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And I would say that's what they're aiming for.
What if you have to cancel Patrick's Day?
If the first, when the first time someone sneezes and they say, we've got coronavirus here and we have all of this, I hate to say it, but the first time someone actually passes away,
yeah,
then it becomes not a matter of let's all talk about whether I want the still water or the fizzy water before we actually agree to even sit down and talk. Just get it done.
Yeah, I also think that we're going to have to people are going to stop using euphemisms very quickly. People are going to die. And it's affecting older people most. But people are going to die, Tony. Mm. They're dying in France. They're dying in Italy. They're dying in South Korea. They're dying in North Korea. They're dying in China.
I was talking to my friends in Catalonia yesterday, and they're telling me it's in the hospital. So,
and I see my friend in Italy sends me photographs. He's on the street and he's wearing a mask and gloves, and everybody around him is wearing a mask and gloves.
Well, you know, you have no immune system.
Well, I have a huge big mask, a massive big mask that stops me touching my face. I have two pairs of marigold gloves and have a bottle of vodka to disinfect everything.
I will say this though, Martin, if you know, if the worst happens, at least we won't have to worry so much about the patrons.
Well, look, Tony, I think we just you know, this is new territory, and I always remind people of what happened during the global crisis, the global meltdown, is those who betted on the worst case scenario got it right. They got it right. So
people are such a doomsday.
No, I'm not. I'm like, be prepared.
Yeah.
Get your mind around it. And then you can deal, you know, people going into shock and run around like headless chickens does nothing. So just be ready for it.
Well, we hope to see some more political action in the next coming days. I think the pressure is starting to build.
It is,
I think what's happened with the Sinn Féin rallies has absolutely... the consensus, even amongst the media now, has been that these were a good idea. It's worked.
It's old-style politics. It's back to what we always did in politics. Charlie Flanagan's father used to cycle into towns in Laois. And on the front, he had a billboard on the front of, and he cycled this back in the day. He cycled, and on the front, it said, "Here comes Oliver Flanagan." And on the back, it said, "There goes Oliver Flanagan." And he used to stand on a street and he used to, you know, hold forth. And that's, we've had that since, oh God, hundreds of years. Mm. So it's not something new. It's something old. And it's the way to do politics is to connect with people.
Oh, that's madness, Martin. I mean, you think that democracy actually means power to people? That's mad.
I know.
Talk to you all soon, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.